the Jewish day of Yom HaShoah, or Holocaust Remembrance Day, is being observed. And directly translated, it means the Day of Calamity, Devastation or Ruin. And it's been celebrated since 1953. And it's a day when Israelis, and in fact all Jewish people from all over the world, commemorate the tragic deaths of 6 million people who were tragically persecuted at the hands of the Nazi regime in Germany during World War II. Well, Anthony Lowenstein is a journalist, author and blogger who writes extensively on Israel and Jewish affairs, and he joins me on the line. Tell us a little bit about this day. Morning, Anthony.
Good morning, Tim. Thanks for having me.
Look, what exactly happens on Holocaust Remembrance Day, and how would most Jewish Australians observe the day?
Look, I think most Jewish Australians probably don't necessarily do anything formally. I mean, there are commemorations, there's memorials, there's discussions about what happened during the Second World War, and obviously from the year that the Nazis took over Germany in 1933. I mean, obviously it's important to remember that one of the things that I think has become as relevant as we move into the 21st century is that the majority of Holocaust survivors are dead or dying. And in Australia, in Melbourne particularly, we have one of the highest percentage of Holocaust survivors in the world still alive. But of course, by 2012, they're getting pretty old. So they're in their 80s, if not older. And some of them, of course, are a bit younger than that, but the majority are pretty old. So one of the things that people are often concerned about is that as those people do die, how is the event remembered? How is it commemorated? And I think those sort of issues are at the forefront of many people's minds.
Yes, I can imagine they are, especially when you broaden it out and say, look, this was not just a tragedy for people of Jewish descent, this is a tragedy for all of us.
Indeed.
And I suppose, you know, people in the majority as well as other minorities here in Australia. Do you think that there's any scope for this becoming more of a national day rather than just being focused on the Jewish community, or the Jewish community having to carry the whole load of remembering properly these events?
I think it really should be. I mean, in many ways, as you rightly say, this event is not just about the Jewish community. I mean, clearly, a range of people were persecuted under the Nazis. Of course, you have the gay community, the community of people who had mental disabilities. But in some ways also, one has to see it as a lesson from history in itself. We're not talking about an event that happened thousands of years ago. This happened really in many people's lifetime. It happened in a country such as Germany, which was seen at the time, before 1933, as one of the most civilized countries in the world. So the fact that you could have the most effective killing regime established in the history of the world set up in 1933 onwards, I mean, most of the killing happened in the late 30s onwards, really, I think, is a lesson for all of us. These things don't just happen in countries that many people in the West see, often in a very racist way, as uncivilized, or countries which are very tribal, such as countries in Africa, Congo, Rwanda, etc. It's happened in the heart of Europe in 1933 onwards for 12 years of horror and terror. And I think the lesson today in the 21st century is, A, to be vigilant, but also to realize that persecution, of course, doesn't just happen against Jews. I mean, the remarkable thing is that in the space of a very, very few years, in many Western countries, Jews have gone from being persecuted to positions of power. And I think the lesson today that many in the Jewish community, in my view, do not learn is that, in fact, the lesson from what happened shows that we need to be vigilant against people who maybe Jews themselves are persecuting, which I would argue is happening today in the Middle East.
Look, I wanted to talk to you about what's happening in the Middle East and also the lessons that we can learn. I suppose, you know, the obvious question is it beholden on people who historically, I mean, the Second World War finished 67 years ago, but as you say, that's still pretty fresh in some people's minds, and in terms of the scope of human history, that's only just yesterday, really.
Yes.
Is it beholden on those people to remember those lessons so hard that they alter their behaviour, that they make absolutely sure that racism can't flourish in any form, but also the minorities are looked after? I suppose you mentioned the Middle East. In 2010, we saw the Gaza flotilla raids that made world headlines, with 9 Turkish activists killed. There's now a movement at the moment, or it's been happening in the last couple of days, called the Flytilla, as opposed to the Flotilla, where pro-Palestinian activists were trying to enter Israel by plane to give some support to one of the minorities. They're the Palestinian people. You're not happy with the Israeli response, so tell us about it.
I'm not, just briefly, I'm not for a second suggesting or comparing what the Nazis did to the Jews to what Israel's doing to the Palestinians. I think there are many people who do make that comparison, and I'm not suggesting is this, you know, mechanized system of systematic murder that happened, obviously, to millions of people, not just Jews, of course, during the Second World War. But what I think is relevant to make the comparison is that individuals, particularly many in Europe during the Second World War, used racial hatred to justify persecution against a minority, and this was Jews, gay people, whoever it may be. And I think what's happening in the Middle East, particularly in Palestine, is a situation where Israel and the majority ruling party there sees or enjoys power as a people, because we didn't, we being Jews, did not have power for arguably thousands of years, and now we do, and we have one of the most powerful militaries in the world, we being Israel. And I think what's happening in the last few days at the flotilla is an attempt, really a brazen attempt by Israel to essentially try and silence peaceful, non-violent activists who are coming under their own expense to Israel, because the only way to enter Palestine, those who don't know, actually is through Israel, which is ironic. And so you have to enter the occupying nation to visit Palestine itself. Israel forced and sent letters to major airlines, Lufthansa amongst others, demanding an individual they said were going to be part of this flotilla be banned from the flights. And it was actually just reported late last night in Haaretz, which is one of the Israeli newspapers, that many of the people that Israel demanded be banned actually had nothing to do with this kind of action. I think it's important to remember that in the 21st century, democracies do not ban people whose views they do not like. Many countries do it. I mean, just for a few weeks ago, for those who don't know, that Günter Grass, who is a Nobel Prize-winning German writer and poet, was banned from Israel for essentially writing a poem that Israel did not like. This is the level of so-called democracy you have in Israel at the moment, and I think this flotilla is a classic case of activists from around the world who are looking for original, different ways to, A, to gain media attention, but also to not forget the fact that in the last 18 months during the Arab Spring in much of the Middle East, there's been waves of change in many countries, Egypt, Tunisia, and most of those countries are still in flux. No one's suggesting that they're perfect democracies. They're not. And in Palestine, however, itself, we don't see a great deal of change in terms of the situation. The occupation by Israel continues and deepens, all illegal under international law. So this is simply one attempt to try and highlight that. And I think the lesson is not to say that, yes, what happened in the Second World War is like what's happening today. It's not. But what is saying that racial hatred, which is clearly a policy to humiliate and dehumanize Palestinians, is sadly does have comparisons in elements in the behavior that the Germans show towards Jews that Israel shows towards the Palestinians.
Look, it's very interesting stuff. Annie Lowenstein, we can check out your blog. I'm sure we just need to Google your name. Thank you very much for joining us here on Radio Adelaide Breakfast.
Thanks for having me.